So you mentioned the microbiome, and another speaker on the same program, your colleague Alan Vanook, was also talking about it. It sounded really fascinating. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more about what's known about, quote, the microbiome, how it correlates to the right and left-sided, and even, I mean, actually the etiology and pathogenesis of this disease.
Right. So the microbiome has probably been an underappreciated component of oncology broadly. And what we are seeing is that the microbiome, and by that I should say we're talking about the composition of the bacteria in the gut, and that's both in the lumen of the gut, but also these ideas of there's biofilms, so there's actually mucus layers that are present on the gut that have their own separate colonization and own separate composition of bacteria. But this microbiome certainly plays a role in colon cancer and in risk initiation of the potential to have an inflammatory milieu that's present. The biofilms are really more present on the right side of the colon. So there are differences between right and left. And if you actually sample the microbiome in these different regions, you'll see differences as well. So there's some thought that that may be causative for some of the differences in the types of tumors we see on the right and left, although that remains to be seen. Now, the intriguing thing, and this is where I think we are very excited, but we don't have as much information as we'd like, is this idea that the microbiome in the bowel may impact the body's immune response to anything. Right? So it's not just colon cancer. We're talking about PD-1 inhibitors. This has now been shown for other tumor types. The work done by Dr. Wargo from our institution and melanoma response. Right? So that is fascinating. Why would bacteria in the gut influence your immune response to a melanoma? But indeed, that's what's seen. And there are certainly thoughts about how the immune system gets modulated by the different microbiome in the gut. So this is an early field, and we don't have all the answers, but it certainly is compelling data.
Any attempts, even empirically, to alter the microbiome, either by itself or in, let's say, patients getting checkpoint inhibitors? I don't even know how you would alter it, antibiotics, or you tell me.
Yeah. So there are a few different approaches that are ongoing that are early. So one is trying to use diet to alter the microbiome. So there is a colleague at our institution that actually has a study where patients are going on a very bean-intensive diet with this idea that there's data saying that that helps alter the microbiome and may have some beneficial impacts.
But these are people also getting checkpoint inhibitors?
The first step is not to do it in the patients getting checkpoint inhibitors, but then to learn about the patterns of microbiome change that you see. But that's the hope. Can you then apply those interventions if you can shift the microbiome in the right direction as it appears? So I think that's the next step. Then there's others that are actually more of a fecal transplant model, right? So this is the idea that there's ways that you can kind of package and deliver a healthy person's microbiome into a diseased patient's intestine. So the idea of you clean it out, do antibiotics, other things, and then you transplant in a healthy microbiome. Fascinating areas, and it works beautifully in the mice, but we just have to see if it translates into patients.
In mice, does it affect what happens when you give a mouse a checkpoint inhibitor?
It does, right. It does indeed. And you can do these transplant studies in the mice and actually show that it's not just an association, but the microbiome is causing differential response to the PD-1.
That's interesting. Certainly, your colleague Jim Allison has been a real leader in this field. And I'm kind of curious how he views all this stuff. How does he view the microbiome? Do you all sit around and talk about these things?
That's right, yeah. So I think it's one of those clear signals and kind of a recognition that it used to be that we were just focusing on the immune cells, looking at the tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes in the tumor or in the periphery and the cytokines in the blood. But this recognition that if we really want to comprehensively understand the immune system, we've got to look beyond that. And I'll say it's not just gut microbiome either, right? There's also work looking at oral microbiome and how that may play a role. I think we're going to be learning how much or how little we know before we get all this cleared up, because it's a fascinating new area.